Yesterday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court adopted Governor Tony Evers' plans for new congressional and legislative district maps that will last a decade. Justice Brian Hagedorn joined the court's liberal members in the 4-3 ruling. While the district boundaries from Evers' map will likely maintain a Republican advantage in the legislature, it could narrow the GOP's majority in the Assembly and Senate. We're looking at what Evers' maps mean for Democrats and Republicans in the state and compare them to the other maps that didn't make the cut. John D. Johnson is a research fellow at the Marquette Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. John analyzed all the redistricting plans submitted to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I talked to him earlier today. Let's set up yesterday's decision with a previous state Supreme Court decision that said what they were looking for in a new map, the least changes idea. Not, as I understand, a part of the Constitution on this. What did that decision mean?
That decision meant that if you take a few steps back, Republicans were going to get a very good map for themselves, because it meant that whatever new map was chosen would have to minimize changes from the 2011 gerrymander drawn by Republicans when they had unified control of the state government.
Now we have this decision yesterday. We had a bunch of different maps on offer. The legislatures, one from Governor Evers, a revised one with that least change policy in mind, and a few others. They went with Governor Evers' proposal. What does that mean in terms of how big a change there is and what happens with that gerrymander?
Well, I believe they chose Governor Evers' proposal because it moves the fewest people from their old district to a new district. The concept of least change is not clearly defined. Many observers thought it was strange that the justices chose that in their earlier decision that you referenced, but that's the decision they made. And what can least change mean if not moving the fewest residents between districts? And Governor Evers' map is the one that moved the fewest people. So those are the maps that were chosen. Given that means that they're not a whole lot different than what exists in the state right now, but they are better for Democrats than the map that had been proposed by the Wisconsin legislature. To put some specific numbers on that, in a statewide tie, I reckon Democrats right now would likely win 38 seats under the new maps drawn by Governor Evers, which the Supreme Court has just accepted. If they had chosen the legislature's plan, that would be 36 seats for Democrats. To put some perspective on that, Democrats currently have 38 seats, and under the final map drawn by the People's Map Commission, which did not use a least change strategy, Democrats could expect to win 44 seats in a statewide tie. But another way that these are different is how many competitive seats they draw. So we can talk about that, too.
Well, I want to get that the bottom half of that fraction there. That's 38 seats plus or minus out of, I believe, 99 assembly seats. You're saying in a statewide election where the votes come in exactly tied for the assembly, Democrats still come in with a pretty substantial loss when it comes to the number of seats they get.
That's right. Yeah.
Why is that? Even if this is a map endorsed here by Governor Evers, again, with that least change policy in mind.
Yeah, well, the Democrats are at a disadvantage across the state because they are more concentrated in cities. So when you draw districts that are compact and contiguous, which is what our sort of legal standards for drawing districts are, you're going to end up having a handful of extremely blue Democratic seats in places like Madison and Milwaukee, and there won't be similarly extremely red seats just because there aren't really places in Wisconsin that are as deeply Republican as there are places that are very deeply Democratic. Now, that said, that only explains a small part, or maybe half, of the Republicans' advantage in the state assembly. So that People's Map Commission map, which was drawn by the commission put together by Governor Evers, would have come up with 44 seats for Democrats in a statewide tie. And it was drawn just starting from scratch, looking at the state and drawing compact and contiguous maps. So still a disadvantage to Democrats, but much less of a disadvantage than currently exists. So the plan proposed by Evers that was accepted yesterday by the Supreme Court is worse for Democrats than a sort of randomly drawn map would be, because it was constrained by trying to closely match the map drawn in 2011 by the Republicans who controlled the state government at that point.
Talking to John Johnson from the Marquette Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education, looking at the state Supreme Court's decision on Wisconsin's new voting maps. John, we've talked about the assembly seats, people watching for the congressional seats here in Wisconsin. What do we know about how these maps would affect how those shake out?
Compared to the map proposed by the state legislature, the maps that Evers submitted and that were accepted keep the third district in southwestern Wisconsin pretty competitive. The Republican plan would have tipped it more towards the Republicans, so that will remain a competitive seat. And the new plan also makes the first district in southeastern Wisconsin several points more competitive. So really, in Wisconsin, we have a situation now where there are going to be two safe Republican seats, two safe Democratic seats, and two seats which are competitive and probably lean slightly Republican. But in a good year for Democrats, they could hope to win both of those.
Another way to measure, going back to the state legislature now, another way to measure the lean here, we've been talking about, okay, if the votes came out tied, what would the split be? The votes come out tied, Republicans in any of these maps come out ahead. What would it take for Democrats to capture a majority? What would the threshold of statewide vote have to get to put Democrats ahead in, say, the assembly?
So to have a good chance at winning 50 seats in the assembly, which, as you say, would be a bare majority, Democrats would need to win about 53.7% of the vote under the Evers plan. Under the map proposed by the legislature, they would have needed to win 56.2% of the vote. Under the existing maps, they would need to win about 54.3% of the vote. So you can see this is a modest improvement for Democrats from the existing map, and it's considerably better than the map that the Republicans themselves proposed during this cycle. It is not as good for Democrats as the map that was submitted by the People's Map Commission, which ignored the least change criteria. Under that plan, Democrats could have hoped to win a majority of the assembly with just a 51.3% statewide victory.
Anything else strike you as interesting or noteworthy about the maps as they stand now after this approval by the state Supreme Court?
One thing I've been sort of amused by is the fate of Stevens Point, which I'm sure it's been frustrating for the people in Stevens Point to feel like a political football being kicked around through both this redistricting cycle and the previous one. But as some of your listeners will know, Stevens Point is part of this odd panhandle coming off of the third congressional district. It's contiguous, but it's definitely not compact. And it was drawn that way in 2011 because the Republican mapmakers wanted to put that Democratic stronghold of Stevens Point into the third congressional district, which at that time they saw as a safe Democratic seat that they weren't going to try to pick off. Now, as voting patterns have changed, the third seems like a good pickup opportunity for Republicans. And so they wanted to hasten that process along by making the third district more compact and removing Stevens Point from it. So that was the plan that they submitted to the Supreme Court. And now they submitted their plan before the Supreme Court ruled that they wanted least change to be the criteria. Evers saw that ruling and submitted his own least change map, in which he perfectly preserved the old strange panhandle of Stevens Point in the third district, which was drawn to benefit Republicans in 2011, but now in 2022 actually benefits Democrats. So there are ways in which the least change plan, although generally favorable to Republicans, in some instances did actually help Democrats.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
John D. Johnson is a research fellow at the Marquette Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. In January, he published an analysis of all the redistricting plans that were submitted to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He joined us for a look at what the new district maps would mean for Democrats and Republicans in Wisconsin. For more on this process, follow the news at WPR.org and check out the recent WPR Reports podcast, Mapped Out.